friends. Welcome to the Radical Radiance podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I could not be more excited to share today's conversation with you. We have Johnny Erickson Tata back on the show to talk all about her newest book, Practicing the Presence of Jesus. It is such an encouraging conversation. I had my husband, Dustin, join me and co-interview Johnny this time, and it was such a blessing to us. It's a conversation you are not going to want to miss. So join me as we welcome our friend Johnny back to the show. Johnny, we are so excited to have you back on the show. For listeners who maybe haven't listened to our first episode with you, it was episode 185, a little over a year ago. And I'm just so grateful to have you back today. We get to talk about your newest book called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. And as always, when we talk to you, I would say my husband, Dustin, is joining me for this episode, and we're both excited to have this conversation with you. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, absolutely. Not only you two, but of course, all our friends listening. And what an honor. Thanks for saying such good things about my books. I'm so grateful.
Oh, well, we're just grateful to have you. And I'm so excited to dig into this new devotional that you've released a few months ago. It's called, I'll say the full title for listeners, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, Daily Meditations on the Nearness of Our Savior. And as we get started, I just would love to hear your heart behind this newest book and just a little bit of that story. So would you share that with us?
Well, okay. I'm going to go all the way back to high school when I read a most remarkable book that was extremely popular when I was a teenager, a young Christian. It was called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Now, let me explain to our listeners. Brother Lawrence lived back in the 1600s. He came from an impoverished family in a little village in France, and he had fought in the 30 Years' War when he grew up and became severely injured, lame, in fact, and found his way to a French monastery where he opened up his heart to Jesus Christ. And of course, his monastic brothers, given the fact that Brother Lawrence was young and new to the order, they gave him the job of sweeping the hallways of the monastery, scrubbing the toilets, cleaning the pots and pans in the kitchen, wiping the kitchen floor. I mean, he had all the most menial, ordinary duties there in that monastery, but it birthed within him a heart of humility. He did not resist the will of God in his life, but he embraced it, accepted it, even though it was lowly. He learned to love his Lord Jesus in the midst of those menial tasks, and this inspired me when I was a teenager. I was fascinated by this, and so I read the book and began a life of service, even back then in high school, community service and serving in my school. I forgot about the book. Even after my accident in 1967, but during the COVID years, starting in 2020, oh my goodness, we're talking 50 years after I was in high school. Oh, I was, you know, we were all sequestered in our homes, and I looked on my bookshelves because I was rereading everything in the house, and I saw this book, and I thought, oh my goodness, I haven't read this since I was in high school. And I read it, was so inspired, because here I was practicing the presence of Jesus during those COVID years. I was developing, as we all were, different life rhythms, daily habits, disciplines, and I had begun memorizing scripture, just simple ways of serving the Lord Jesus, even though I was sequestered. And so the book inspired me to write my own journal. I was journaling this time, and I decided to put it all in this book, insights that I was learning from 50 years of quadriplegia and more, as well as lung infections, respiratory infections, sequestering during COVID, How was I practicing the presence of Jesus during all these many years, and of course, most recently? And so it ended up being this book. The book is actually The Practice of the Presence of Jesus is inspired by Brother Lawrence, of course, but it is a reflection of my own journal during many years, but especially over the years of COVID.
Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. Meet your new favorite Bible study companion, the Old and New Testament handbooks. These handbooks contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. I know they are a resource I'll grab off my shelf while studying Scripture for years to come. Available in two different cover options for each, buy one, get one free at Lifeway.com with promo code HandbookBogo in all caps. That's Lifeway.com, promo code HandbookBogo. Now back to the show.
And whenever I was reading through your book, and at the beginning of each section, of each meditation devotional, you have a quote from Brother Lawrence, and then you have your entry on the other page that sort of meshes with that and fleshes that out. And you mention Brother Lawrence, because I've read that book many years ago myself.
Practice
of Presence. I did. And it's a slim little volume, but there's so much in there. And I remember going back to it, kind of what you're talking about. I remember going back to that little book one time when I felt like I was, I don't know of any other way to say it, I was slogging through the mundane. And then it struck me how Brother Lawrence was doing all the menial, humble, lowly, daily routines, and yet found joy and meaning and purpose and peace and worship in the midst of that. So I was wondering, the thing that came to mind was, I think it was Chuck Swindoll's friend, I don't know who, if I'm remembering correctly, he made a statement that God moves among the casseroles, like in the everyday. Have you ever heard this?
And I think that's so true.
In the everyday mundane moments of life. And so I guess taking all of that, how would you encourage listeners, and maybe moreover, how does practicing the presence of Jesus, how does that encourage us in the midst of those mundane seasons when you think what I'm doing really doesn't matter? No one is noticing. What would you say? How would you encourage someone?
Well, I think you just said it so well, Dustin. When any of our listeners, any of our friends are at the kitchen sink, they're fixing a flat tire, they're making lunch for their kids, they're mowing the backyard, they're serving supper at the church meeting, whatever, sometimes in these menial tasks, we find them so ordinary that we think there's nothing extraordinary about them. But it is indeed our heart attitude, isn't it, toward these things? Washing dishes, putting away the laundry, folding underwear. It's our heart attitude, and I think that's what matters the most. For me, the mundane things I deal with every day are wheelchair batteries that go dead, a leg bag that springs a leak on somebody's carpet, just having somebody every single morning take 2 hours to get me up out of bed, toileting me, brushing my teeth, blowing my nose, giving me a bed bath, sitting me up in a wheelchair. I mean, every day, in and out, for years, it's like, oh. But yet, it is my attitude toward that. And so, the way I look at my mornings, how menial they are, I think, Lord Jesus, thank you for the chance to sit up in this wheelchair and look at life head on from a 90-degree angle. God bless you. So many people would be in bed so many people with paralysis would be bedridden. And here I am, I get a chance to sit up. So Dustin, that's it. It's, you just look for Jesus. You just look for the snippets of gratitude, the spirit of thankfulness in the midst of the most ordinary routines. And this is what I would encourage our listening friends to do, because these are the things God takes note of. I mean, I often tell people, God's not impressed that I've written books. God's not impressed that I knew Billy Graham on a first name basis. He's not impressed that I travel the country and speak at conferences. No, he wants to see what my heart is thinking.
Amen.
You know, how am I responding to my husband? Am I being gracious? Do I say thank you to the Amazon delivery guy? I mean, what are the ways that all of us in our most menial tasks can recognize Jesus in them and honor him through them?
So it reminds me of I don't know if it was a title or if it was a phrase, and I don't remember who said it. I'm doing really poorly with bringing back all the information related to a quote. I just remember the quote, but the statement was fidelity in trifles. Faithfulness in just those little everyday moments of life that God presents you with, just fidelity in trifles. And so I think that's the beautiful part of that.
It is. In fact, as you're speaking, Dustin, I'm thinking of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, do everything without complaining.
Yeah.
If we can simply do that. Oh, my goodness. How we are honoring God. Because obviously the Bible thinks we don't need to complain in our ordinary tasks.
Right. The Bible without complaining or disputing.
We can do that. And of course, Jesus' death and resurrection gives us the power to do that. So
absolutely.
It really is all about Jesus, isn't it? And
it
our attitude toward him.
Truly is.
That's right. I love this quote from you in the introduction of the book. It says this: suffering has a way of heaving you beyond the shallows of life where your faith feels ankle deep. It casts you out into the fathomless depths of God. And I just wonder, as you think about your story and how God has been at work in you, how has that been true in your life?
Well, I don't know. I think we're talking about it right now, aren't we? Because there was a time when everything on the surface seemed to me to be important. All the accomplishments, achievements, recognitions, and that's the shallow ends of relating to God. The deeper end is things like perseverance, endurance, courage. I mean, the Bible says in Psalm 84, I think it's verse 11, it says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And we read that and we tend to think it means, oh, no good thing. Okay, God will give me a recognition in my community. I'll get a great house and marry a wonderful guy, and he'll make a fantastic salary, and we'll be notables, and I will do wonderful achievements for the church. And I mean, we tend to think on that level, but the good thing that God is talking about in Psalm 84 and elsewhere are things like courage and perseverance and endurance and patience and long-suffering, bravery in the face of odds. I mean, these are the things that God thinks are good. And so I think when we are cast out into the deep end, when we stop skating on the surface of our Christian life and start to look at our hardships and afflictions and our troubles, when we start to look at them as God's way of throwing us out into the deep end, places where sometimes it's so hard we can't even touch bottom, then we learn the value of perseverance and endurance and courage. And I've learned that after 57 years in a wheelchair, but I'm still learning. I've still got a long way to go. I have by no means arrived, for sure.
That's beautiful. And And whenever we think about those things, when you mentioned that those earthly pursuits, those things that we as humans would say, this is good, this must be what is good. And God's viewpoint of that is, you know, you're so limited, child, in your scope of things, because those are passing things. Those things will fade away, and he's building something eternal in us.
Yes.
And as an eternal God, I guess my next question would be, we often think about God in the sense of his transcendence, you know, his rightly so, his greatness and his glory and his holiness and his kingly rule. And all of that is absolutely true and a reality. But then we start thinking about his immanence and his nearness and his closeness. And sometimes those seem to be at odds with each other in our mind, especially whenever we start attempting to practice. And I love how Brother Lawrence used that word, and you do as well. We practice we're not doing it perfectly. We're practicing it, and it's a habit, and it's something that we do on a regular basis. And we're striving by the power of God working with us, with his spirit. But at the same time, sometimes we may say, okay, well, if God is so transcendent, how am I going to practice his presence if he is so, quote unquote, out there and I am here? And we neglect that whole Emmanuel, God with us aspect of that. So how would you, I won't even use the word balance. Maybe I'll just use the word or the phrase like a holy tension. How do you maintain that holy tension between God's transcendence and God's eminence, about the loftiness of God and the nearness of God, both of those being true at the same time as you practice the presence of Jesus?
Well, to answer that, I'm thinking of John's, I think it's John 6, verse 56, where Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Mm. Now, you can't get much closer than that. But ingesting, you know, just eating his flesh. You're so close to him. You're so near to him. You are so dependent and reliant on him. You so require him and desperately, urgently need him that you are, as it were, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. But Christ takes delight in that. I mean, this the great lofty God, the Lord of the universe, the very one who spoke it all into being. I mean, the universe, the world, everything was created through him and for him. And he's the same one who says to us, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood, get that near to me. Johnny, would you get that near to me? Mm. And it'll mean you'll remain in me and I will in you. I'll give you an example of how this happens. Most recently, I have had a couple of bouts with double pneumonia, and I've had to be hospitalized for a total of about 45 days. And my lungs are very weak. And one of the things the doctors told me, you're going to have to use every day, twice a day, 15 minutes of chest percussion therapy. It's like this jackhammer vest that goes on my chest and beats me real hard. At the same time, I nebulize. So there's these stinky fumes that, you know, come out of this nebulizer, and while I'm being jackhammered on my chest. And I was so depressed. It's like, oh God, I mean, I can't do this. Yeah, you're going to have to help me. I cannot do this, but I can do all things through you if you would but strengthen me. And he gave me the idea, well, this is a great time to memorize my word, Johnny. Why don't you just have your husband open up a Bible in front of you and just look at it and memorize? This is a good time to learn my word. Mm. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. You know, just live on my word for those 15 minutes every morning and every evening. And so I've done that. And oh my goodness, I memorized all of Ephesians chapter 1, and I memorized the Nicene Creed, and I'm working on Psalm 84. That's why I knew it was verse 11. It's just been kind of fun. It's been kind of fun that I have used that time. And You know, it is so incredible that when we feed on the Word of God, we just have life. We just have just vibrant life. And so this is one way I've practiced the presence of Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to waste these 15 minutes if I've got to sit here being jackhammered and this nebulizer, and I'm going to use it to memorize His word. That wasn't my idea. That was God's idea. It was His way of drawing me near, this great holy God embracing me and pulling me against His breast and saying, get to know me in my word. Mm. Wow. It's been wonderful. It's strange that I say that, but it's been a time that now I look forward to every morning and evening.
Mm. Wow. That encourages me so much. I'm thinking about a conversation we recently had on the podcast. It was all about memorizing scripture. And you're reminding me of something our friend Glenna Marshall, who was the guest on that podcast episode, she said, I often will pair memorizing scripture with an everyday task where my hands or my body is busy, but my mind is not. And I think we can all think of time in our day where that's true. Right. And so I love how the Holy Spirit prompted you to do that during that time. And I think we can all think of moments in our day where that's possible. So I love that you shared that. It's so good.
Bingo. I'm with your friend who said that very insight. It's so true. Look for a time when your hands might be busy, but your mind is a little vacant doing a mundane task. And it's great.
Yeah. So good. Well, as I was flipping through the devotional and just reading some of your work and thinking through this conversation, I thought of this is a really open-ended question, but as you think about that project and all that you reflected on as you were writing, was there a topic or a theme or something that maybe bubbled up in your own heart personally that God maybe really used in you as you were writing?
Oh, I cannot help but write about affliction and suffering because I deal with chronic pain and I've got paralysis and lung issues and problems. So I found that the theme for me was that our suffering is best eased when we serve others who are hurting worse than we are, perhaps mainly people who don't know Jesus. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, it says in Matthew chapter 20. So, and then elsewhere in Isaiah, you know, God's chosen fast is that we spend ourselves on behalf of the poor. And if we share our food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter, then your light will break forth as the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. So that's a service is a theme. I often tell people who are paralyzed in bed, well, you can pray. Get on your computer. You know, put it on a lap table. And communicate with others, share words of scripture. There's all kinds of ways we can serve. And that's what Jesus did when he was on the cross. There he was, you know, serving. He was dying on his deathbed, so to speak. And he was serving the thief next to him on the cross and serving the soldiers who he forgave because they didn't even know what they were doing to the Son of God. He served his mother and his best friend. Making housing arrangements for the two of them. And there he is making, serving from the cross. And so none of us suffer so much that we cannot find someone else who is hurting worse than we are. And so I think that was pretty much a theme, how we can minister, support, care, serve others in the midst of our greatest afflictions.
Yeah.
And boy, does God love that, because nowhere are we being more like Jesus than to lift up our cross daily, yet think of others and have a good attitude about it. We are pleasing God because we're so like Jesus in doing that. So I'm glad you picked that up.
And whenever we talked, when you spoke with Rebecca the last time you were on the podcast, I was so torn up because I got to pray before the podcast, but then I had a meeting. I had to be at church. And so I told Rebecca, I said, if ever you have her back on, I want to co-interview. But on that day, what I mentioned to you, and with regard to what you just said, your book, When God Weeps, about why our suffering matters to the Almighty. That helped me through a couple of my really dark seasons, and God used that in such a powerful way. It is still one of my top three books of all time that I go back to and read, and that I also have given away. I used to keep copies. I need to replenish my store of them. I would just keep copies, and I would just give them away to people who would come for counseling or come for going through a difficult time. I would say, would you read a book? I want you to read one of my favorite books in the entire world. And so just how God used that. And I'm mindful that in that book, you have some accounts of when it seems as though, kind of going back to, I guess, the first question, when it seems as though we're forgotten in our suffering, and you made mention that suffering is a testimony to that manifold wisdom of God. Even in the midst of our suffering can be a testimony to the heavenly realms of the goodness and faithfulness and wisdom of God worked out in our life. So it's not as though we are alone in our suffering. If we are in Christ, then our suffering has meaning and it has purpose. And it is also a testimony to heaven that all of heaven is watching. All the heavenly hosts are watching and giving praise to God for his wisdom.
I love that thought. Dustin, I love that thought. That was from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10.
Right.
It is now God's manifold wisdom. No, it is now God's purpose that through the church, his manifold wisdom should be made known to the powers and principalities.
That's right.
Yikes. I mean, billions and billions of unseen beings are so anxious to see how we're going to respond in a situation.
Right.
And our response is either going to bring God glory, or it's going to bring him disappointment. And I don't want to disappoint my Savior.
Oh, me either.
You know, if I could sum up that book in just a few sentences, Dustin, sometimes when we suffer, we keep thinking that God is asking too much of us. Mm. But what we need to think about is what he's already given us. I mean, and he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us all things?
Freely
give us all things. Romans 8:32. And when you think about the Lord Jesus, they ripped him to shreds, and then they hung him up like a piece of slaughtered meat on a hook, left there to drain blood. I mean, when you think that he did all that to help us escape from hell, and not only that, but give us a home in heaven. Mm. Oh my goodness, he did all that? Then he has proved his intentions to us. He is more than trustworthy. He is love like we've never even thought of before. So when we suffer, we think about what Christ did for us, how much he's already given us, and given us all things, that is, the desire and the power to do his will, and to do it in the toughest of circumstances. Then we have no excuse not to obey joyfully. When we think, how can I rejoice in suffering? How is that possible? Well, you do it when you first look at what God has already given you. Don't ask what he's asking of you. Just think about what he's already given you. He's given you Jesus.
True.
You know, and lately, Dustin and Rebecca, I don't know, the thoughts we're talking about, things we're sharing, have inspired me to look for hymns that talk about how much I love Jesus. And I came across one most recently, Jesus, Priceless Treasure, Source of Purest Pleasure, Friend Most Sure and True. Long my heart was burning, fainting much and yearning, thirsting, Lord, for you. Yours I am, O spotless Lamb. So will I let nothing hide thee. Seek no joy beside thee. I mean, those are the words I like to use in prayer at night when I'm in pain and thinking of just getting close to him. How can I get close to him? I don't know. I'm going on and on, but you get the point.
Beautiful. Amen. Amen.
And that focus too, you know, when our focus is upon Christ, then our suffering When we see our suffering in the light of the suffering of Christ,
yes,
then that lends us the appropriate perspective to deal with it.
Bingo.
But if we focus upon our suffering first and foremost, then we actually, I don't know of any other way to say it, we actually diminish the work of the cross because we elevate our suffering and we act as though, well, no one's ever suffered like this. No one's ever experienced this pain. No one's ever experienced this isolation and rejection other than me. And that's completely incorrect to think that, but it's a matter of focus. Because our suffering by itself, devoid from the work of Christ on the cross, our suffering can't be the driving force or the lens that we view our reality through, right?
I cannot say it better than that, except maybe to add 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's our example in suffering. So.
Our template. I think that word means the underwriting. It's a drawing or something underneath that you would trace over the outline of so that you would learn how to draw. And so he's given us a pattern, a template to follow carefully.
Love that. Love that.
So good.
So good.
It's beautiful.
So good. Well, this is a great lead in to the last question that I ask all of my guests that come on the show. It's called Radical Radiance, with a heart to help women see what it looks like in our daily lives to radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships, our suffering, in the things that we're talking about today, and just thinking about it all in light of this verse in Psalm 34 that God really put on my heart. It's verse 5. It says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame." And so, Johnny, I wonder in this season of your life how you would answer the question, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
He makes me smile. All of us, we have every reason in the world to smile, not in spite of our hardships, but because of them. We smile because in our hardships, we're pressed up against the breast of Jesus. We smile in our troubles because they give us a glimpse of heaven. They deepen our prayer life. They push us into the Word of God. They cause us to be more compassionate to others. I mean, it could go on and on. We've got every reason to smile. We've got an escape from hell, a home in heaven, and a purpose in life down here on earth, a mission to accomplish, people to tell the good news to. Oh my goodness, we ought to go out the front door every single morning smiling. We should all be radiant for all the many gifts that God has given us.
Amen.
I would encourage all of our friends to think on those things.
Yeah.
Listen to this podcast again. Take in the words of Rebecca and the wisdom of Dustin and myself and smile. We've got every reason to smile, right?
We do. Praise God. So thankful for that. Well, I could not be more grateful, Johnny, for just your voice in both of our lives and our conversation today. I'm so excited about this book. I'm going to say the full title for our listeners one more time. It's called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, Daily Meditations on the Nearness of Our Savior. And Johnny, we are just so grateful for your life, how God is at work in you, and just for all of your encouragement today. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Johnny as much as we did. Go grab a copy of Practicing the Presence of Jesus wherever you like to buy books. And if you were listening and you thought of a friend that you really feel like this conversation would encourage, would you consider sharing it with them? It really helps us get these conversations into the hands of more women who need them and would be encouraged by them. So it would mean the world to me if you would share it with a friend. We'll be back next week for another amazing episode. I cannot wait to talk to you then.